Was this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. These are the last days. We have been in the last days since that. So this is where we live, in the last days. Do we realize this? That difficult times will come. This word here, that's important for us to grasp, this difficult. What I want you to see with this word difficult is violent. Violent. If we trace this word back through the Greek, what we will find is that, but realize this, that in the last days, violent times will come. Violent times will come to who? To what? To the church. See, we've already spoken of the church. This is what Paul has placed in our mind. He says, now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. That house, that's God's house. And we are the ones that are to be prepared for every good work. It is our desire to be useful, set aside for our master to please him. That's only in the church. The world has no organization that sets itself aside to be useful to the master. The only place that that's going to take place, that it's possible for that to take place, is a church. But realize this, that in the last days, violent times will come to the church. See, men will come into the church. False teachers. And they will teach people. What false teachers teach? Brother Chad, what false teachers teach? I didn't hear you. Thank you for saying it louder for me. I hope that you were here this morning at the 10 o'clock hour when we discussed lying. False teachers teach lies. Oh, they mix it with the truth. I mean, after all, they've got to have so much truth to give what they're saying a legitimate ring. If everything that they said was a lie, it wouldn't be hard to pick them out now, would it? Just like another that I know. You know, sometimes we get this idea in our head that the devil can't tell the truth. Do you know what that is? That's a lie. You know how I know? Because the Bible tells me so. Do you know what the devil said to Christ? He quoted the Word of God. Now, is the Word of God the truth or is it a lie? In that instance, he was telling the truth. Oh, he was twisting it. See, he put just enough truth in there to make that lie try to sting. Our Lord, his maker, his creator. A lot of audacity in that. Not my sermon. But every time those words run through my mind, I'm just... amazed at the audacity of a creature that would try to cause his creator to sin. But in these last days that we live, violent times will come. They have come. They've come in the past. They're coming again. They're going to pick up speed, brothers and sisters, the closer we get to the second coming of our Lord when time ends on the last day. When time stops. We must be prepared. We must accept that these violent times, these difficult times will come. They have come. They are coming. And we need to be prepared. We need to know why. Our beloved Paul doesn't leave us wondering. See verse 2. For men will be. Men will be. Understand that women will be too. This doesn't exclude a woman. Men will be sinners. And women will be sinners. This is the point. I want to talk to you about something that's very, very important in the minds of a whole lot of people. I want to call it to your attention. Have you heard all the to-do about how important it is to raise children so that they know their value and their worth? Sound good so far? Let me tell you, they are special. There's not another one like them. You can take two that are identical twins and they are different. One is not like the other. Are they special? They are, right? Are they important? They are, right? Now, hopefully, you say yes to those questions because you should say yes. Why is any person important? Why is any person valuable? Because they are created in the image of God. Value, worth. They need nothing more. They are created in the image of God. Why do we believe that life in the womb is worth protecting? Because they're created in the image of God. Not my sermon either. See, this is where it starts to go south. And it goes south very quickly. Listen to it and catch it. Don't let it slip through your mind and go into your heart. They are special, these children, each person. They are unique individuals. They have value and worth. And what we must not do in any kind of way is negatively affect that self-image that they have of themselves. We've got to prop that up. We've got to protect that. I mean, their self-esteem is extremely important because they will not live up to their potential if you start diminishing their self-esteem. Self-esteem is a good thing. And all God's people said, absolutely not. Over my dead body. Let me read a little something to you. It probably, I hope, is going to sound familiar. Just let me know if it doesn't. You ready? Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have always have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. This passage is of a crooked and perverse generation. And the answer is not going along with the world, but 180 degrees. We are told that self-esteem is important. What you think of yourself. How important that is. That we must not say things or do things that cause people to think less of themselves. Can't be no such a thing as preaching. Got to give that up. Because, see, the problem is that you think too much of yourselves. The problem is that we think too much of ourselves. Who doesn't? Who is it that doesn't think too much of themselves? I mean, you do this all day, every day. You who are in Christ Jesus. The difference is, you know it's not right. And if you don't know it's not right, well, I'm going to step on your self-esteem tonight. I aim to hurt it and hurt it bad. That's my goal. That's my ambition for this sermon. I want you to think less of yourself and more of other people, especially your Lord. Here's what Paul says. For men will be lovers of self. Got to love yourself. Can't love anybody else if you don't love yourself, right? You heard it, right? How many times do you hear messages similar to these obscurities that I'm spouting off? In a day. In a week. You can't watch a television show without picking up on these things. If you'll just listen. You can't listen to music, you'll hear it. Listen to me. You can't even go in a Christian bookstore, you'll touch it. Christian songs, full of it. Prosperity gospel, running over the brim with it. I mean, after all, God's sole purpose in everything is you, right? I mean, God won't be able to rest until He saves you. I mean, look how important you are. If you teach a whole world that message, don't you know it'll be chaos? What are they living for? What's the world living for? That's coming to church. People in the church. Not all of them. Some of them hadn't got the memo. It's not about you. It's never been about you. It's always been about Jesus Christ. You know the reason that you were saved? Because a long, long time ago, the Father set you aside to give you as a love offering to His Son. He didn't do so because of your value or your worth. As a matter of fact, you were an enemy of both of them. But He determined that He was going to love you. He gave you in eternity past to His Son. For His Son to love you. And in return, men have become lovers of self. Instead of God, and this is in the church. See, right now, I'm going to step off of the world's toes, and I want to step on yours. Because if we get this wrong, no gospel, no salvation, no salvation. World doesn't stand a chance. It's not about us. Everything that is mentioned after this, for men will be lovers of self. Everything that's stated after that comes out of that one. Let me just show you the first one there. I'm not going to preach on it, but I'm just going to show you. You see what's next? Lovers of money. What you going to do with all that money? See, if you love money, what you going to do with money if you don't love yourself? I mean, you're amassing money because you love yourself. And that causes you to love money. See, it flows out of that.
boastful, arrogant. What you going to boast about if you don't love yourself? What you got to be arrogant about if it's not you in your sight? If you're not in the picture. If self-esteem were knocked down to be true. You know the song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. What comes next? That saved a wonderful person like me. Because I'm great. I'm good. See, we can't reconcile this philosophy with the Scriptures. Can't be done. You can't love yourself. And you love yourself. And you got to quit loving yourself. Because you love yourself too much. Is that a new message? Do you think you have a problem with loving yourself too much? I have a problem with loving myself too much. Maybe you don't. Could we just look realistically? Can we just think about this thing logically? And not so that I can evaluate whether you love yourself too much, but so you can. Are you interested in looking to see if you love yourself too much? Because it's in opposition to God. When someone has a need, does your want come before their need? Because if your want comes before their need, guess what? You love yourself. Now, let's make them a brother or a sister in Christ, a sibling. Does your want come before their need? Did you hear the sermon this morning? I bet you didn't know you were going to get a double barrel. If you see your brother in need and your want overrides their need, then what does the Scripture say? Do you love yourself too much? How about a brother or sister asking you for help in something? And you just don't want to do it. Do you need help? Do y'all need help? Nobody ain't really saying nothing, so. Do y'all need help? Brother Rodney, you need help? I need help. We need help. We help each other. I had a brother help me this week. Help me do something. I needed help. There's a lot of times that I need help. There's a lot of times that you need help. Are you able to help somebody? Or are you too busy with you to help somebody?
Because if you're always too busy to help somebody, you think you might love yourself too much. Now make them a brother or a sister. We've got the Word of God. We're looking to apply it to the world around us and to our own self. And if we're not willing to do that, if we're not looking to do that, why? You don't have time. You got time to study it, but not apply it. If you got time to study it and don't have time to apply it, maybe you need to stop studying it and start applying what you have learned thus far. And then once you get that going, back up and start studying again. Because if you're not willing to do that, it's probably because you love yourself too much. It's not about how much you know. It's about who you know. And who you know came and did that. He humbled himself to the point of death. Not just death, but death on the cross. Your Creator came, and he didn't make much of himself. He made much of the Father. You know, if Jesus had loved himself, he never would have stepped out of glory. Couldn't have. Couldn't have done it. And if that's the case, then you would be lost in your sins. Now you're back in the world. All you have is philosophy and psychology and science. And you can depend on those things to get you through this life and into the next. Oh, wait a minute. They don't have a next life. And in case you didn't know, they're not doing too well of getting you through this one either. See, if it's all about you, the very first thing that you must do, if it's all about you, is eliminate anyone that is more important than you are. Because, I mean, after all, if you're going to love yourself, then you've got to be the most important person in the world, right? Even if you don't start out that way, trust me, trust me, trust me, you will end up that way. Why is this so important that we must pay attention to it? Why did I say that there's no gospel? Because if you're the most important person that it is, then God will become less than you. And if God is less than you, even if you don't start out that way, you will end that way. And then you will come to the truth that that was a lie. And then it's too late. You're not the most important person. Jesus Christ is. As a matter of fact, you're not even more important than the people to your left and to your right. Not nair one of you, not nair one of us are more important than another. Brother Rodney is the pastor of this church. He's not nair more important than Rhett, who is the youngest one here. That's wrong. If you start believing that way, that will lead you to a no gospel life. Because, I mean, after all, you're the most important person. What you want, what you desire, it takes precedence over what someone else needs or wants. Put two brothers, two sisters together, and they want different things. Which one of them takes precedence? Are you always fighting for what you want? Is it always you? It's me. I don't like that. I don't think that's right. Is that the attitude that's spelled out for us in Philippians, brother? Do you know what that is? You're loving yourself too much. Let's look at something. I'm going to preach a short sermon. Y'all believe it? I'm going to preach a short sermon tonight. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. I'm just picking all on the brother's Bible teaching, aren't I? He taught through Matthew, right? And I was actually here during this time. Matthew 22. I wasn't here the whole time that he taught through Matthew, but just so you know, I got a little zip and I went back and listened to a bunch of those, if not all of them. I think I might have went through all of them. I don't want to say it because I don't want to lie from the pulpit in case I didn't go through all of them, in case I missed some. Look with me, chapter 22, verse 34. Let's listen. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus speaking, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we got it. There it is. There's the source of many people saying, you see there, love your neighbor as yourself. It says in the Bible, love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. You got to love yourself to love your neighbor. Ain't that right? Isn't that what they say? This is where they're getting it from. You understand it? That's just where they're getting it from. Now, what I want to point out to you in this second part here as Jesus speaks, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Who comes before you in that verse? Your neighbor. You notice that you wasn't the object of Jesus' statement there. You're not the object of the scriptures there. The other people are, not you. See, Jesus is not saying, you make sure you love yourself. Do you know that people, you don't have to teach them to love themselves? The little bitty baby loves himself. He comes into the world loving himself. You know how I know? Because he'll pitch a fit. He'll throw a tantrum if he doesn't get his way. Hadn't you seen it? You did it. He said, yeah, I done it. You do it. Y'all all did. Just ain't no witnesses to some of y'all. This is how we come into this world. We do not need to be taught. We do not need to be instructed to love ourselves. As a matter of fact, what we need to be instructed on is to humble ourselves. What we need to be taught is to count others more important than ourselves. Jesus is not saying, now you love yourself, and then if you love yourself enough, that'll spill over into your neighbor. But that's the way these men twist the word of God to make it say that you should love yourself. Ridiculous. Notice there, We see, again, I'm going to start back in 34 and read it one more time. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, what is the great commandment of the law? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Is you in there? Is you in there? Well, maybe you are. You shall. You shall love. Yep. You shall love. But the next words destroy self-esteem. The Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. How much is left to love you? See, there ain't nothing left for you to love you in that. But notice what comes after that. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. It's flowing from it. See, the second tier of the law, Brother Chad's teaching us, is flowing from the first tier of the law. If you get the first tier of the law wrong, don't worry about the second tier. That's legalism. Let me show you what I mean. See, if you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, it says elsewhere in Scripture, then the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Why do you love each other? God. Would you love each other if it weren't for God? You. Brothers and sisters sitting in this church, would you love each other if it weren't for God? Maybe you say, well, I would love my family. I would love my family if even the atheist loves their family, right? Nope. Nope. Without love in the world. They're without love. They're without God. They're without hope. They may be fond, but when it comes down to who's more important, me or this family member? Let's look at husbands and wives. Husband, wife. Which one's more important? I'm more important. I am. I can't say that, but I am. This is the way the world looks at it. Siblings, brothers and sisters, I love my brother, I love my sister, but, you know, when it comes down to, I'm not going to do without anything to see them. You're going to see that play out over and over and over and over and over and over. And even when you can point out something, you go, well, look at this circumstance. Look at this particular person, how they love their family. Give me a couple of minutes to ask them a couple of questions. And if they will promise to tell me the truth, you will see that they love themselves and they don't really love the other person. They're doing it because of the way that it makes them feel. If you're doing something to make yourself feel better, who is it that you're loving? Are you loving the other person or are you loving you? Who are you loving? Do you love God? Because if you love God, that's naturally going to flow to your neighbor. And if you don't love God, you're not going to love anybody. The only person that you can love is you. And let me tell you, you're not worth loving. You're not worth loving. If you raise yourself up to a place that you should not be, it's because you don't think that God deserves to be in the place that He is. See, if you knock everybody down, then you'll feel elevated. Nobody's as valuable as me. Nobody does what I do. I put more effort in this, whatever this is. So this should be about me and me alone.
Other people have a part in it, but not nearly as important as my part. Who you loving? Even if you won't say that, do you ever think that? Because if you think it, are you loving you too much? Because that's what it's showing you. This is what Jesus is speaking of here. Love. 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 On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophet. Love. You can love God. And if you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul, it will cause you to love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're not willing to do that, and you can see a brother or a sister in need and turn your back from them, understand that the love of God is not in you. The love of self is. You can have the love of God or the love of self. There's not room for both. How important are you? How important is Jesus Christ? If Jesus Christ is important, you want me to tell you who else is important? My brothers and sisters. My brothers and sisters in Christ. They become the second most important thing, as my Lord is first. Naturally, my brothers and sisters become second. We all need help. Don't you need help? I need help. Love me. Love me. Love me because you love God. Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then understand, I'm your neighbor. And I'm more than a neighbor. I'm a brother. I'm a brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. Love me as I love you. Love each other as we love God. And remember, we're not doing this because it's in our power to do this. We're doing this because the love of God has been shed abroad. Where? Where has the love of God been shed abroad to? Your heart. God says you're capable of this love. Why do you love yourself? Because you have a tendency to sin. You have a sin nature. The difference between us and the world is we understand that this is wrong. Don't put yourself before other people, especially your brothers and sisters in Christ. Be there for one another. Love one another. Seek to please your master who bought you with a price. Look, I finished early. You see it? I finished early. Brother Chad, would you close us in a word of prayer?